We are going to check in on how honey producers are doing this year and discuss the benefits and uses for Wisconsin honey, because it's National Honey Month, and we thought this would be a good opportunity for us to talk about the benefits and uses for honey, especially Wisconsin honey. Our guest is Matt LaForge, Vice President of the Wisconsin Honey Producers Association. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thanks a lot for being with us. So, do you know how honey producers are doing this year? Is it, good, bad, somewhere in the middle?
It'll probably end up being slightly below average this year. Because of the cool, rainy summer that we had, that keeps a lot of the bees in the hive working a lot less. And that rain that would come every 3 days earlier in the summer kind of washes the nectar out of the flowers. So most parts of the state are down. It can go the other way, too, and it can extend the season in areas that normally get dry. So some areas are better than average. Some areas are worse, as always. But for the state of Wisconsin, we'll probably be a little bit lower than we usually see.
Yeah. So I would expect that you are a fan of Wisconsin honey, but is there anything, what's special about Wisconsin honey?
Well, we have a lot of special honeys here. Wisconsin honey is actually prized all around the country and even around the world. Some of our big honeys that we produce that are unique to this region are basswood, black locust, but we produce a lot of clover honey, a lot of alfalfa. And that's just because of the special land use that we have in Wisconsin. We have a lot of small farms, we have a lot of dairy farms, and there's a lot of forage grown for those animals. And that forage is also, in a lot of cases, really good for honeybees. So Wisconsin honey is, we're in a very special place.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned a bunch of different types of honey there. They are named after the flower or the plant where the bee pollinates. So basswood is made primarily from basswood?
That's exactly right. Bees will go out and like anybody, they don't work any harder than they have to, although they do work very hard. So they'll go to the best nectar source that they can get at the time. So when the basswood trees are blooming, they'll fly out and they'll be bringing in primarily basswood honey. When the clover is blooming, they'll be flying out and they'll bring in primarily clover. So it's never 100%, but those honeys will have very different characteristics in color and flavor and aroma, and it's because the bees focus on pretty much one plant, whatever the best thing is that they can get at the time.
Good for them. What exactly is honey, Matt?
So honey is it's produced by the bees from nectar. So the bees will fly out and get nectar from these plants. They'll bring it back, put it in the honeycomb. They'll add a few enzymes to it, and then they remove moisture from it by fanning their wings, and they basically turn their hive into a big dehumidifier. Once the moisture level is low enough, it'll last forever. So they'll seal it over with wax, and then it's honey. It's preserved. They make it for themselves for their winter food, but then we take it right from the hive, and it's at that point, the bees have done pretty much all the work. From that point, it's ready to go from the hive right into the bottle. We don't do a whole lot else to it.
So the primary purpose of making this honey is the bees want to have that's their food source.
Yep, for winter. Honeybees are the only bees that make honey because they're the only bees that the whole colony is active all winter long. They actually stay in there and they'll eat that honey and they'll cluster together. And they'll keep it at the very center of the cluster, 80, 90 degrees all winter long, no matter how cold it gets outside. And the honey is their carbohydrate energy source to do that. So other bees like bumblebees and that kind of thing, which are great pollinators, don't produce honey because only the queen will basically go dormant over winter, and then she'll start a new hive on her own in the spring, so they don't need that stored food.
Who was the first brave person that decided they were going to grab a big hunk of honeycomb out of a beehive?
who is the first one? We don't know, but it's been a food source for people for a long, long time, pretty much as far back as we have history. There's early cave paintings of people climbing up on ropes to try to get honeycomb out of caves, and people have been after that sweetener for as long as there's been people around.
Yeah, and the honeybee is a sweet little bee, but they how do they take to somebody taking their honey away from them?
honeybees are very docile, so most of the time, even as the beekeeper going in and working with them, they're very calm. They just go in there with a little bit of blow a little smoke, which calms them down, and maybe wear a little bit of protective gear, a veil over the face and everything. But it varies from time of year to time of year. When there's a lot of nectar coming in, bees are happy, everything is good, and you can really work with them without any concern at all. They'll get a little more defensive of those stores once the nectar stops in the fall, because then they're like, oh, we better really save this, because we don't know how much more we're going to get. So it varies a little bit from year to year, but taking it away from them doesn't do any harm to them. We do leave them about 80 pounds of honey to make it through the winter. That's what they need. They'll just store way, way above and beyond that, and whatever they make above that is what we get to take.
Oh, good to know. So this is National Honey Month. September is National Honey Month. Is this a particularly significant month when it comes to honey production?
Typically, yeah. This is traditionally like the big harvest month, especially in like the Midwest. That's gotten pushed forward a little bit over recent years as beekeeping practices have changed and people now move around the country for pollination more. And there's some new pests and diseases, and we have to kind of harvest the honey a little earlier so we can make sure the bees are healthy for winter. So it maybe has gotten pushed up into late August a little bit more, but traditionally, yes, September is the month where beekeepers are out there harvesting the honey and starting to prepare the bees for winter.
Yeah. So what is the update on the honeybee? I know that the plight of the honeybee has been in the headlines in terms of colony collapse and mites and other threats to the honeybee population. Has it stabilized? Is it still declining? What can you tell us about that?
It really has not changed much over the past few years. We're still having very high losses over the winter. The severity of the winter makes a big difference in that, so some years are worse than others, but it's still ranging from 30 to 70%, depending on where you are in the season, which really just is not sustainable in the long term. But so far, beekeepers have been able to replenish those hives every spring and get them in the right place at the right time for pollination and honey production and that kind of thing. But it's very challenging when you're losing, say, roughly half your population every winter to rebuild in the spring, and we're seeing lots of beekeepers getting out of beekeeping because it's so challenging. So lots of backyard beekeepers getting in, which is great. People who are doing it as a hobby on a small scale just for fun, but people who are trying to make a living at it are having a really difficult time.
Well, maybe we will hear from some backyard beekeepers or other honey fans if you'd like to call in with questions for our guest, Matt LaForge, Vice President of the Wisconsin Honey Producers Association. We will welcome those questions about honey production. We'll also welcome your favorite types of honey, your favorite uses for honey. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. It is National Honey Month, so we thought it would be a good opportunity to check in on Wisconsin honey production, learn a little bit more about honey production in the state, talk about the benefits of honey, the uses for honey, how to make honey. We welcome your questions. If you're a beekeeper, we also welcome your questions or favorites. If you're just a honey fan, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Matt LaForge is our guest, Vice President of the Wisconsin Honey Producers Association. And we have Chris on Facebook who says, I have heard it's a good idea to get your honey locally because the local pollens in the honey bolster your immune system against airborne allergens. Is this true? Matt, do you know what the research says about that?
The research is really mixed. We'll hear both sides of it. I think what it kind of comes down to is it depends what you're allergic to. Not every plant is pollinated by bees, and we're not allergic to all the pollens. If you're allergic to, say, the maple trees in the spring, there's going to be a lot of that maple pollen mixed in with the honey, so it might be like a natural vaccination kind of. You build up an immunity, strengthen your immune system. If you're allergic to like grass pollen in the summer or in the fall, well, it might not help you that much because bees don't pollinate that. Those are wind-pollinated things, so that's not really going to show up in the honey. So all pollen is different, all honey is different, but it's definitely worth a try. And getting honey from the state or even really like the Midwest would be local enough to get the right species and everything. It's definitely worth a try if you're an allergy sufferer.
Yeah, well, if you want to find the closest local honey producer possible, how do you do that?
Almost every town has a farmer's market now, and that'll be the closest honey you can get. Plus, going to the farmer's market has the added benefit that you can actually talk to the beekeeper, too. Find out where their bees are, what they were mostly gathering nectar and pollen from during the season, when this was harvested, how they harvested it. You can ask all kinds of great things if you actually go to the farmer's market and deal directly with the beekeeper, because they're the ones who know.
Yeah. And we did notice on your website for the Wisconsin Honey Producers Association, there's a map that shows, honey producers who are members of your association all over the state of Wisconsin.
We have members all over the place. And if you're looking for a very specific type of honey or something, that's a really useful tool. Sometimes people really want buckwheat honey, which is really dark and sharp and strong and like almost like molasses-y. It's the color is like black. And people want that for baking or mixing. I mean, it's a really unique flavor, but it's hard to find. It's kind of a special thing. So if you're looking for something like that, going on that map, you'll be able to find someone in Wisconsin who is producing that this year.
Yeah. Let's go to Patrick in Wild Rose. Hi, Patrick.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Great.
Go ahead.
I'm just calling to encourage anybody listening that has thought about beekeeping as a hobbyist or taking it maybe to the next level after they've been introduced into it, that it is not overwhelming like I thought it was. I got bees for the first time this spring. I started with two new colonies, and it was absolutely a blast learning about them. It didn't take a lot of research. There's a lot of people looking to help you. The bees do, they know what they're doing. So there's just Beekeeping for Dummies is a great little book to start with. I got 70 pounds of honey from one hive because the other hive was so vigorous it actually swarmed on me its first year. It's just, they're fascinating. And the more small hobbyists out there, the better, especially if they are always, looking to helping the bees as far as the varroa mites. they're not being moved around the country as much, not as susceptible to disease.
That's great, Patrick. I'm glad you called. Why is it that you felt the desire to be a beekeeper?
A buddy of mine got some last year, and they didn't do so well. But to be honest with you, Joyce, the first time I saw that new colony, which is a 5x5 frame colony, opened up, and I saw all the bees, and we put them into the box, I knew I was going to have them.
Yeah. And what are you going to do with all that honey?
Well, I have a 3-year-old that eats about a mouthful every day. And I plan on next year, if I do well again, I'll sell a little bit. But with 70 pounds of honey, I kept, I had a number of 40 pounds in my head for us. I have 3 kids and my wife. It sounds like a lot, but if you're using your coffee every morning, and my parents are addicted now, I give a lot away.
Wonderful. Our address is, I'm kidding. Matt, how about that? It's Patrick says it's a blast. It's not as hard as he thought, and now he can have honey in his coffee every day.
That's absolutely true. And 2 things that he said jumped out at me. And the first was, there's tons of people who want to help, and that is absolutely true. Beekeeping is one of the tightest and most close-knit communities I've found anywhere. Like, if you say you're even halfway interested, you'll be like swarmed, excuse the pun, by other beekeepers who are ready to help you, provide advice, lend you equipment if you need it. Like, it's a great group of people. And also, what he said about as soon as he saw that hive opened up for the first time, he was hooked. I hear that so often. Like, that really is, like, it's scary. Like, the adrenaline is going the first time you go in there. And then you lift that top off the hive, and you just see these, like, fuzzy little bees, like, wandering around, working so hard. And it's just, like, it's totally captivating. So I would agree with everything he said.
Wonderful.
It's great for anybody to get into.
So, and he said it would be great for more people to get involved in this. It sounded like he thought this was going to be helpful for the honeybees, is it?
Well, yeah. The more people who are out there with bees, the better it is for the bee population to begin with. Because like I said, a lot of the large beekeepers or sideline beekeepers are kind of dropping out because of the difficulties making a livelihood with it. So we really depend more and more on backyard beekeepers. It matters a lot for pollination too, not just for the health of the bees, but we used to have a huge population of not wild because but feral honeybees that would just be off. They're living in hollow trees and all over the place. And because of the problems, the health issues that the bees have been having, those are essentially gone, basically extinct. Like, the only honeybees are the ones that are being managed by beekeepers now. So those wild honeybees that were doing a lot of the work pollinating your fruit trees and your gardens and that kind of thing, those are gone. So having you or your neighbor put a beehive in the backyard is going to make a huge difference on the quality of pollination in your neighborhood.
Yeah. So, Matt, do you put a honey in your coffee every morning?
Yeah, I use it in my coffee all the time. I love peanut butter and honey toast.
Yum.
I use it in baking a lot. So I use it, try to find new ways of using it all the time.
Well, we'll talk about some more of those uses in our next segment, talking with Matt LaForge. He is the vice president of the Wisconsin Honey Producers Association. We are celebrating honey, Wisconsin honey, as this is National Honey Month. We're talking about honey, Wisconsin honey, to be specific, as it is National Honey Month. We are talking with Matt LaForge, the Vice President of the Wisconsin Honey Producers Association, and he's telling us about honey production in the state this year, some of the challenges of it and some of the joys of it. We're talking about the different kinds of honey. We're talking about the different uses for honey, the benefits of honey. We're welcoming your questions and your suggestions. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. I just want to share this because I think it's funny. Pam on Facebook says, I use a lot of homemade honey in homemade margaritas and other sweetened cocktails. Don't judge me, she says, Matt.
I think that's a great use for it.
I do too. And yeah, we had the bee juice from another listener who's just said it's hot water and lemon juice and honey, great for sore throats. We have a lot of different suggestions from our listeners. You might have one too. Here's one. We use honey to sweeten and flavor plain yogurt. So there's another idea. Let's go to the phones again. Jeanette in Marquette is with us. Marquette, Iowa. Hi, Jeanette.
Good morning. My husband is a beekeeper, and just one of the things that he's noticed over the many decades of beekeeping is the increase in new diseases and parasites coming over from Europe. And that's something that folks who are new to beekeeping should definitely be aware of, because you can lose all of your bees. And there's a few things, like some of the foul brood, that could contaminate your gear, and it stays there. So that's something that all the new beekeepers should know about, because it could lay dormant and kill all of your bees. Another thing is,
Jeanette, let me interrupt. What did you? I didn't understand what that thing is going to kill all your bees was.
If you had some of the diseases, like foul brood or something like that.
That was the name of one of the diseases. Okay.
It's the name of one of the diseases, and that you basically would have to burn all of your equipment. And I know folks who had that, and they had to destroy their equipment. So
yeah, Jeanette, I'm going to jump in just because I appreciate your call. But what about all these diseases and things? This is a challenge, Matt.
It has definitely gotten much more difficult over the last 20 years or so, 25 years, because of the diseases, but especially most of these diseases have been around for a long time. But in the last, since about 88, we've been dealing with the Varroa mite, which is always in the news with the bee decline. But that almost wiped out the beekeeping industry, and then we were kind of like muddling through. And then in the last decade or so, this bee collapse again has been caused largely by viruses that those mites transmit. So keeping the bees healthy is a challenge. I mean, but it's a doable challenge, and it's a fun challenge, and it's a learning challenge. And there is lots of support out there from other beekeepers who can tell you, like, this works well in our area. This doesn't work so well here at this time of year. So it's important, but it's doable.
Yeah. Are there resources or seminars or how to be a beekeeper classes held?
Every spring there's tons of classes, and I would strongly recommend anyone who is even just curious to kind of go and listen to basically what your year as a beekeeper would entail. Then every year as the Wisconsin Honey Producers, we have two statewide meetings where we bring in like national speakers who are known around the world to speak. One is in July in Red Granite every year, and then the other one is our big fall convention, which bounces around from around the state every year. This year we're going to be in Eau Claire the first weekend in November.
Mm-hmm. And what do you hope happens or comes out of that convention?
Well, it's different every year. There's always, sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally, there's a little bit of a theme that develops. This year, because of the speakers we have, I think it'll really be a kind of natural beekeeping, alternative treatments, trying to get away from chemicals and some of the medications by doing things specifically with the bees to keep them healthy. By splitting colonies at the right time of year and everything, we can mm-hmm. we can avoid some of those medications. But we are bringing in a couple big speakers. Ross Conrad from out east is known around the world in the beekeeping community, so we're excited to have them.
Let's I just lost my caller. Darn it, she was a nurse, and she says that they apply some sort of honey mixture to wounds, and wondered if you knew about healing properties that way of honey, and whether it contains probiotics. I think she was also going to ask. Do you know?
It doesn't have probiotics per se, but it is excellent for wound care. If you have a little cut, if you have a mild burn, putting honey on it will make it heal much, much faster, and it'll keep it from getting infected, kind of like some of the lotions that you can buy for cuts or burns in the store. But honey is natural, and it, because of the low moisture content, it stops bacteria from growing, and it'll keep that clean, but it doesn't dry it out so fast, so it also facilitates the healing. Honey is used at home as a wound care and in hospitals more and more, because they're realizing that even against some of these super bugs that we hear about that are antibiotic resistant, honey will kill those off as well.
Great. Amanda on Facebook says, I get my honey from Mad Urban Bees, LLC, as a part of a honey community-supported agriculture. It's pretty cool, and each month a batch of honey is completely different. It says each monthly batch is completely different, almost like different flavor profiles of wine. Is that right, Matt?
Yeah, we mentioned before that depending on what nectar sources the bees are going to, the honey can range from almost clear to pitch black, and the flavor will vary accordingly too, from really, really light and sweet and mild to really sharp and strong. So if you're harvesting every month, you're going to get a lot of different variations from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. So that would be a fun way to try out a bunch of different things and see what you like. A lot of people just think honey is honey, so that'd be a great way for them to experience all of it.
Yeah, so as the season goes on, there's different sources for the nectar. So the bees are getting one plant early in the season or whatever, and like right now, what would they be getting, or in the fall?
Right now, at this time of year, we're pretty much to the point where it's asters, goldenrods. Those are the big ones at this time of year. Mm-hmm. But they're very important for the bees building up their late winter stores. Like I said, most people have harvested already at this point, so those aren't, you're only going to get like the very beginning batch of that honey and the honey that you're eating. Mm-hmm. But it's very important for the bees as they prepare for winter.
Barb in Milwaukee is with us. Hello, Barb.
Hi, good morning. Talking about healing, my husband puts honey on his hands every day before he puts on his latex gloves at work, and it keeps the bacteria down.
Oh.
But that's not why I called. I have a native yard with, full of asters and goldenrod, as you just mentioned, and yesterday when we came home, there were tons of honeybees on the plants, as well as bumblebees and several other smaller bees. I'm wondering, since I'm right dab in the middle of Milwaukee, how can I find out who is taking care of these honeybees? And is it ever possible for a beekeeper to put a hive in someone else's yard? Like, I'd like to offer my yard for a hive.
Oh, does that ever happen, Matt?
Oh, yeah, that very often. Milwaukee actually has a really good beekeeping ordinance that they passed a couple of years ago, setting some rules, but making beekeeping legal in the city limits. And there are thousands, literally thousands of beekeepers right in Milwaukee who have one or two hives in their backyard. So where they're coming from, it would be hard to find out, but they're all around, and that's great that you're seeing them, because it's helping your flowers, all the neighbors' flowers. Each beehive, the bees will fly out 2 or 3 miles, and they're pollinating that whole area. So that's great to have in your little local ecosystem. Beekeepers are a lot of times, especially smaller beekeepers, looking for a place to put bees. Maybe they're in an apartment and they need somebody with a yard where they can put their hives. If you connect to a local bee club in Milwaukee, there's the Milwaukee Waukesha Bee Club that meets at the Brookfield Library. But that's a local group of people who will be able to connect you with a beekeeper if you're looking to have bees in your yard.
So, Matt, do you have a your operation is somewhere in the Milwaukee area, isn't it?
I'm based in Milwaukee, but my bees are mostly in central Wisconsin.
Oh.
Just a little south of Stevens Point. So I'm up there in sand country, and I go visit the bees on the weekends.
Well, I hope you have a good visit. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.